Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Hello and welcome to Share Talk. Today I'm joined by Nicholas Nelson, who's CEO at Solnox Group, which is listed on the Aquis Exchange. How are you today, Nicholas?
Hello, Zach. I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for this opportunity.
Right, for those of you who have not heard of, the listeners who haven't heard of either Aquis, probably not, that's given it's a new name for an existing market, or Solnox, could you just guide us through those two different organisations?
Yeah, the Aquis or Aquis Stock Exchange used to be called NEX. It's an independent marketplace, fully regulated and market maker driven marketplace, which I'm very familiar with. I've been on the board of a couple of Aquis companies in the past, and it's ideal for a company which is in relatively early stages like us, who wants a market, a respectable market in its shares to help it with its development, to raise money and so forth, which is exactly what we've done. So we planned to float on a stock exchange about 2 years ago, and we chose Aquis for a variety of reasons. We did a pre-IPO middle of last year in anticipation and to cover some of the costs of the listing. Then we raised a bit of money on the flotation, but we ran up against Christmas, so we didn't raise as much as we'd wanted. And in effect, the fundraise which we announced today is topping up what we should have raised in the IPO.
Right, so you're now all good to go. Exactly, you're funded. Exactly what is your sort of business model and what are you doing in terms of that?
Okay, Solnox is classified as a specialty chemicals company, and we have developed and own outright the formulation for emulsifying fuel, that is adding water to fuel. Our business model is we wanted it to be as simple as possible, as easy for investors to understand and to make us as investable as possible. And we know that historically royalty companies are very attractive to investors because the overhead can be maintained at a very low level. There's little activity actually moving things around required with the royalty company, and that applies to us. So we have a simple business model. We don't manufacture, we don't physically distribute or collect money from end customers. We have a network of regional specific customers or distributors, and it means that our overhead is broadly fixed no matter how much our sales grow. And our overhead at the moment runs at about between 25 and 30,000 a month.
Right, and in terms of, maybe this might be a bit of a strange question, but in terms of maybe an existing company out there that people might have heard of, what would you, is there anything out there? I mean, you're obviously not ICI, but I mean, what would be a comparable company or something that people might make it easier for them to understand what you do?
Okay, take a look at Quadrise, which is a name quoted company. They're also an emulsification specialist. They have a completely different business model, but have a look at them, and then their website plus ours will give your listeners a full understanding as to what an emulsifier can do to improve the quality of fuel burn.
Well, that's the best answer I could have expected, actually, so that's great. Have actually heard of that company. As I said, I mean, in terms of, you talk about royalty, and I suppose people like that recurring revenue type of idea.
Yes.
How close are you to getting that?
We hope to be in sales shortly after lockdown. There has been a delay as a result of a number of things, not least the lockdown. Basically, we're trying to get our product into bulk users of diesel or heavy fuel oil. Now, these are respectable organizations by definition, and it's always a challenge in getting a new product through the doors of a big company, even if it's a brilliant product like ours. And what we've decided that we have to do is some further company or manufacturer specific trials, and we're starting these off in South Africa, where we've lined up trials with, they're just quick and dirty trials to enable the manufacturer to see that it won't cause their engine to blow up. And then they can give letters of no objection to the companies that use those engines, like the generators, the big power generators, earth moving equipment owned by the mining companies, haulage customers, and the like. And these are really big users of diesel. For example, there's an iron ore mine in South Africa that consumes 20 million litres of diesel a month. That's a staggering amount. Your typical large haulage company would be consuming 5 million litres of diesel a month. And then if we move on to heavy fuel oil, that's where the really big consumption is. Heavy fuel oil is a very thick, black, disgusting, the dregs at the bottom of the barrel that they can burn in ships and in fossil fuel power stations. I learned only yesterday, actually, that because I spotted it on a website, that Carnival, the cruise company, which owns about 100 ships, puts out the same toxic emissions as all the cars in Europe. That's all 260 million cars in Europe, which is a staggering fact.
Well, that brings me on to my the next question, which, I mean, in normally in these situations, you know, being familiar, you know, vaguely familiar, let's say, with the green area, green technology, greener fuels, etc., normally companies in this sort of space have regulation helping them, or perhaps even forcing some of their potential customers to adopt their technology or their fuel or their, you know, whatever they're selling. Do you have that backing you up, and would you be able to campaign more for that?
Yes, certainly. That's definitely a driving force. In the UK and in Europe, it's obviously the use of diesel is highly regulated, and it may not be our market, actually. It's the other parts of the world which aren't so regulated but use the most diesel, such as Africa, Asia, India, these sort of places, where it's slightly lower quality diesel than we have over here, and it's not as regulated. But regulation will come. However, the way that we get through the front door of these companies is on fuel saving. So we think that with our fuel additive, we have two products, one for HFO, one for diesel. So with our diesel conditioner, we call it, we could probably find a 6% fuel saving for bulk diesel users. And that's what we're going in the front door with. And they get the toxic emissions reductions on top of that.
Right.
With the shipping sector, that is heavily regulated. We saw the International Maritime Organization, IMO, coming in with regulations this year to dramatically reduce the sulfurous emissions, which has caused mayhem in the shipping sector because nobody really knows how to achieve what the IMO is asking them to do. You either fit the very expensive exhaust scrubbers, and all they do is that they wash the poisons out of the exhaust, and in most part, all of that dirty water is now just dumped over the side of the ship. Or they go on to ultra-low sulfur fuel, which is twice as expensive as normal heavy fuel oil. But the downside with that is that by removing the sulfur, you have to add something back in to give the fuel lubricity. And that thing that they add is called aromatics, and that puts out a lot of extra soot and smoke. So, but we can help, whether they want fuel savings, reductions in emissions, cost savings, engine maintenance reductions, we can really add value to any company out there.
So would you say that these companies are aware of you, or you've got to do more work in order for them to become aware of you and, you know, let's say, be helped or in some cases saved by what you offer?
Yeah, they're obviously not all aware of us. It's a slow process. And what we've decided to do, because it'd be ridiculous engaging distributors around the world before we've actually won our first customer, we've got to get the first customers over the line and using the product. And then we think it will then just, there'll be a very quick process. The tipping point, that's the word I'm after, tipping point, that will be the tipping point. And then more companies will follow. So we're focusing on South Africa and India and a little bit in the UK at the moment. We just want a couple of big names that we can announce, and then that way we can expand interest to other parts of the world and other customer groups. And in terms of talking to shipping companies, these companies are naturally very discreet. They don't like the idea that we're peddling our wares to their competitors. So we have to just deal with one shipping company at a time. And at the moment, we are in talks with a shipping company, and it's just got to be confidential for now.
Right. So just to finish off, would you expect to see this, the tipping point or inflection point, as I prefer, to happen by the end of this year? Are we looking at a sort of 6 month, perhaps as soon as 6 months? Is that something you could make a call on at this stage?
Yeah, I'm confident that we'll be in sales this year. In fact, I'm really hoping that about a month after lockdown, whenever that is, we will we will be able to start making announcements in terms of positive news regarding these specific engine trials, which we hope then will lead automatically to an offtake agreement with the end users.
Nicholas Nelson, CEO at Solnox, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Zach. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.